Blog Talk Radio.
I know a girl who dreads the shots that used to make a sugar drop go too low and things get crazy fast.
Welcome to a very special edition of Fleet Days with Murph. November is Diabetes Awareness Month. And actually, the idea to do the show today was put in my head by a very dear friend, Amanda Jo, who's going to join us live a little bit later. My family has been personally affected by diabetes with both parents and a cousin having been diagnosed in the last several years. And as usual, I've got my co-host Em with me. What?
You said both parents. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Oh my gosh, I'm your best friend, and I did not know that.
I will text you later about this.
Okay.
I will text you later.
I'm surprised by that. Sorry.
What do you say we welcome today's special guest?
Probably a good idea.
Probably so.
I think it's funny that you asked me that question. Like, there's no response for that. You ask me that question every time, and I'm like,
Okay, let's do it. And with that, let's welcome the incredibly talented Miss Amanda Jo. Hey, Amanda, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
A little emotional right now, but I'm good.
I understand.
So that song is just, first and foremost, let me say, that song is just gorgeous. Just totally
it
gorgeous.
Is. There's quite a team that worked on that song, and we really wanted to create kind of an anthem for people with diabetes to have hope that there is a better future out there, and also to bring awareness to the general public that, you know, diabetes is a condition that affects so many people in our country, around the world, and, you know, we desperately need a cure for this thing.
Oh, I agree. And I've got the CDC's website pulled up here, and I did not know this. The rate of new cases of diagnosed diabetes in the U.S. has slowly begun to decline just a little bit. So that's a good thing.
Yes, it is. You know, I think that especially in the case of type 2 diabetes, you know, there's quite a bit of awareness out about what it is and how to prevent it. However, I think that the media has forgotten that there's another type of diabetes, which is type 1, and it is a totally different beast altogether. It doesn't develop in the same way, and it does different things to the person with diabetes.
Now, for everybody out there listening, you've had a type 1 diabetes for, what, 16 years, if I'm correct?
Yes, coming up on 17 years in April.
Wow, that's crazy. And for anybody that's a little confused, as you said earlier, there's kind of a big difference between type 1 and type 2. Can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. Type 1 diabetes affects only 5 to 10% of the population of people with diabetes in our country. About 90-95% of people with diabetes have type 2. So type 1 is the more rare form of it. And what happens, in the easiest way to describe it, is to understand kind of what insulin does in the body. What insulin does is it basically acts like a key to your cells. And it, when you eat, your body breaks down food and it turns into the sugar. And it can't get into your cells' key, and that key is insulin. So without the ability to get into your cells, your body can't break it down for fuel. And in a person with type 1 diabetes, the body is an autoimmune attack against itself. So the body attacks the cells that make insulin and kills them. So a person with type 1 makes absolutely no insulin altogether. So there's no diet, no exercise program, no pill they can take to supplement for no insulin. And on the other hand, with a person with type 2, the body is still producing insulin, but it's like the key lock got warped. So their body has this insulin, but it's just the key won't fit the keyhole. And it oftentimes can be controlled with a different diet, an exercise program, and there's plenty of supplemental pills and things like that a type 2 can take to help their body use their own insulin. Whereas in a person with type 1, they just don't make any altogether.
That makes perfect sense, actually. And I was reading again on the CDC's website, and this is kind of just a staggering figure to me. More than 29 million Americans are living with diabetes, and 86 million more are living with a prediabetes.
Yes. The scary thing about type 2 diabetes is that it progresses very slowly, and the symptoms that come with type 2 are often ignored with, oh, I'm just tired and because I'm not as active as I should be, or I'm not eating the way I should, or I'm working too many hours, or I'm stressed out, and they miss the warning signals. And that's a little bit different in a type 1 because the body completely stops making insulin altogether, the warning signals are very clear, because if you don't deal with type 1 diabetes in a rapid fashion, it will lead to a coma and death. But in type 2, that thing progresses very slowly because our body's still making insulin. It's just not being used the right way. So oftentimes people overlook the warning signs and don't realize that they actually are living with type 2.
Wow. Em, did you have anything you wanted to add real quick?
I mean, I can't think of a, like, specific question, but just anything that you really, like, want people to know, or, like, something, like, super important to you that people know about this?
Yeah, I think it's really, really important for people to understand that diabetes is no different than cancer, no different than arthritis, no different from any other medical condition, disease that a person can get. It's a disease that happens. People don't ask for it. They don't ever want it. They don't bring it upon themselves. It's not something that, oh, you have diabetes, so you must have done something wrong. It's something that happens to people, whether it's type 1 or type 2. And the media has portrayed such a negative connotation with diabetes. You know, they think that, oh, you have, you know, cancer or this or that, which are terrible diseases to live with. But they say you have these things and you're a fighter and you're a warrior. But they make diabetes seem like it's your fault to have it. And it's really important for people to understand that eating a piece of cake didn't cause diabetes, or eating too much sugar as a kid didn't cause it. It's a reaction in the body that they don't completely understand why it happens. It just happens. And it's something that once you have it, it's something you have to deal with just like any other medical condition. And you know, I think that the media is quick to place blame on the person with diabetes, but I think that's a wrong way of thinking.
Yeah, I completely understand what you're saying. I mean, like, people, there seems to be such a negativity, like, surrounding it, and it doesn't have to be that way at all.
No, and it's too bad because, you know, with personal experience, living with diabetes is tough, whether you live with type 1 or 2. And I know from my own experience, diabetes is something that is on my mind pretty much every minute of every day. You know, where's my blood sugar? Where's it going? Which way is it going? You know, how many carbohydrates am I eating? How much insulin do I need? You know, these are all things, you know, can I go to, is it safe for me to go to sleep at night, or is my blood sugar going to drop? And do I have sugar with me in case it does? Or do I have extra insulin? And do I have enough pump supplies to get me through the month? And there's just so many things that a person with diabetes deals with. And it's a really, really tough disease. And I think that as a society, we need to stop placing blame on people and start realizing that this is a tough burden people live with.
Yeah. Cody? Around? Are you sure?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. You know, just as somebody that's living with this, I run through a typical day in your life living with this disease.
Well, I have two pieces of technology that I use that significantly make my life easier, and they don't control it, they don't take care of it, but they certainly make my life easier. And one of those things is an insulin pump. So instead of taking shots every day, as I used to have to do when I was first diagnosed, I wear this insulin pump. It's about the size of a, you know, the old pagers, and It holds insulin in it, and it gives it to you a little bit throughout the day, which is how your body would normally do it if you didn't have diabetes. And then when I eat, I tell it how many carbohydrates I eat, because that's all going to turn into sugar. And I tell it what my blood sugar is. It calculates my dose for me. And so that's one piece of technology I use. And the other piece is called a continuous glucose monitor. And I use the Dexcom CGM. And what that does is I wear a sensor.
I've
on
actually
me.
Seen that. I've seen that online, actually, Dexcom. I've seen that online, actually. You've posted a couple pictures on it. Posted a couple pictures of it online. Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, it's an awesome piece of technology. It has completely changed my life in diabetes. And what it is you wear this sensor on your body, and it's a very small sensor that goes in, and you put it in yourself just like you would a shot or an insulin pump size, and it transmits to a receiver. And the newest Dexcom actually has the ability to read it right on your iPhone. But I have the G4, so I use a receiver. And it transmits within, I believe, 20 feet of the receiver. So as long as the receiver is within 20 feet of me, it's reading. And it gives me an update every 5 minutes, what my blood sugar is, which way it's going, how fast it's going. And it also has alarms, so it'll alarm me when I go outside of my ranges, which is a huge help, because before this technology, you know, you could check your blood sugar with, you know, the standard needle, you know, the finger prick, and your blood sugar could say 100, and you think, wow, my blood sugar's perfect, cool. But you might be spiking or you might be dropping, you don't know. All you see is the number in front of you. You don't have any idea which way it's going. So usually a typical day for me is I wake up, I check my Dexcom, and I it has to be calibrated twice a day with a finger stick. So I check my Dexcom, I calibrate it, make sure it's where it needs to be. If my blood sugar is off, I give insulin for it. Get up, get ready, eat. I usually have to figure out my insulin, my breakfast and insulin dose about 20 minutes before I eat. And it's hard to describe a typical day, because as a person who sings country music for a living, no day is typical. Every day is
right,
a little different.
That. I understand
but,
that completely.
The nice thing, like I said, about having the Dexcom is the ability to see. I can see it when I'm on stage. I can see it when I'm on an airplane traveling to a show, or in the car traveling to a show. I can see it. You know, it will wake me up in the middle of the night if my blood sugar drops and I need to eat something. And after years and years of living with type 1, I've lost the ability to feel my low blood sugars until they're very dangerously low. So I will feel normal at a low range. And so the ability to know quicker what my blood sugar is, it makes a big difference.
Oh, yeah, and I can see how this is like something going off in your head, and like hello, check blood sugar. You're getting low. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah. I mean, you know how it is. Life gets really busy, and once you get up and you know you've had your coffee and your breakfast and you're going, sometimes you don't stop and you get really busy you don't think about it.
Right.
And especially performing and on stage, the ability to know before I'm low that I'm going to be low, so that I don't have a situation on stage where now I'm low and I'm shaking and I can't think clearly because I'm low, and now I'm trying to put on the show and I can't function. You know, I have the ability to see where I'm going and stop that before it happens.
Right. Yeah, I understand. I'm going to turn it back over to you again.
Okay. Well, I mean, I know, like, about diabetes and that it's in my family and things, and so I don't really have any specific questions. I mean, anything that you feel is important to share, please, like, feel free to, because, you know, people need to hear it, but I don't know, like, specifically. Like, it's hard for me to ask questions because I know the answers to them. Yeah, I mean, I can't really think of anything, like, super specific to ask you other than, like, if there's anything that you feel is just really important and, like, that people need to know, like, feel free to share anything like that.
Sure. I think, you know, if you don't mind, I'd love to share a little bit of my story and how I kind of, you know, I've gotten involved in diabetes. Well, I mean, obviously, I've lived with it for 16 years, but when I was diagnosed, it came as a shock to my family, and I was lucky in that I was diagnosed very early on in the process of, you know, as I said earlier, in a person with type 1, your body kills off the cells that make insulin and leaves your body with no insulin, but there is a process of time which that takes place, and it's not the same in every person. And they found out that I had diabetes type 1 before my body had completely finished killing off the cells. They found it really early, and I didn't have any symptoms yet. So I didn't have to have any kind of crazy hospital stay or anything like that, and was able to kind of transition into it a little bit easier that way. And, you know, I grew up wanting to be a performer, be a singer. I started getting on stage when I was 5 years old, and I remember thinking, I wonder how diabetes will play a factor in music. And I kind of made a decision early on that I wasn't going to make diabetes a big deal in my music career and as I dealt with people, because I didn't want to make diabetes a big deal. I wanted to live with it the best I could, do what I needed to do and move on. And so that's how I treated diabetes initially. And I didn't necessarily talk that much outwardly about having it. And my attitude on that changed a couple years ago when I was getting close to my 15-year anniversary with type 1. I started thinking about the fact that I couldn't believe it had been 15 years that I lived with type 1. And, you know, and I started doing some more research about diabetes because it just weighed heavy on me. And I found the statistic that 9.3% of people in America have some form of diabetes. That's almost 10% of America. And that doesn't include, you know, the spouses and the loved ones and the parents and the cousins and the siblings and the friends that also deal with diabetes. So when you include all of those people into it, because they very much play a factor also in this, that's a huge percentage of our population here in this country. And as I started thinking about that, I felt a responsibility in a way that I had this platform with music and I should share and I should help if I can, you know, I should do something more than I'm doing. But I didn't really know what I should do or really how to do that. And shortly thereafter, I was contacted through Twitter by Dr. Clarissa Leviton, and her and some of her associates are actually very heavily involved in finding a cure for type 1. She is currently over in Europe and doing testing, and they had gotten approval for human trials. So they made it to stage 3 testing in humans, which is a really big deal. And she's already gotten 2 people completely from type 1, completely off of insulin, completely cured, and she's working on a third. And she contacted me and her team about doing a song to help promote the fact that we need more awareness. If we have 9.3% of Americans living with this disease plus their loved ones, we need some more awareness that this is a real thing, and it affects not just your daily life, but it affects your long-term health. It affects your heart, your kidneys, your nerves, your eyes, every part of your body diabetes affects. So I jumped on the chance to be a part of this song. And they got Adam Lasher involved as well, who was on American Idol a few years ago. I don't know if you guys remember him, but he's also Carlos Santana's nephew. And he also lives with type 1. So It was pretty cool to get to work with Adam, and as well as you know, we had some other incredible people working on this song. We brought in songwriter Billy Lee, who's an incredible songwriter here in Nashville, and he did a lot of work on the song. We brought in Dr. Matt Carroll, who is the past president of the ACE Foundation, and he did a lot of work on the song. And we all kind of came together and got in the studio and recorded the song, and now we've been out promoting it. And since I a few years ago decided, hey, I think I want to help some people, I want to do something, it has probably changed my life more than I've ever been able to help anybody else. And this last year I've gotten involved with the American Diabetes Association and their summer camps, and as well as the Children with Diabetes Friends for Life conference out in Orlando, and all sorts of events around the country, just getting to talk to people about my experience of singing country music and traveling around the country and living with this disease, and about following your dreams and not letting diabetes stop you from doing what you truly love to do. So it's been a really, really cool experience, and it's become a huge passion of mine. So that's why I was so excited to get to be on the show today, because I really, really love the opportunity to reach out to people and help encourage somebody, help inspire somebody. You know, I know that there's some diabetes heroes of mine that inspired me. There's a girl by the name of Carrie Sparling who writes a blog, sixcentsome.com, and I've read every single blog post she's ever written, and I love her to death because she's so real and real about it, and it's so relatable to me. And there was Nicole Johnson, who won Miss America in 99, who lived with type 1. There's so many others. So, you know, I feel like if I can be a part, and if there's somebody out there that I can help, then I love to get to do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I know, like, I have personally, I had an uncle. Well, my grandfather has type 2, and my uncle, his brother, had it too. He found out he had it and didn't take care of himself, and then it got really, really bad, and it affected his kidneys, and he ended up dying because he didn't take care of himself, and he didn't really care. He was like, no, I, like, don't, like, I'm not doing this. I'm not eating this. I'm not doing this. So, and my grandfather was like, I'm, you know, he takes exceptional care of himself, especially now, but it's so amazing to me. Like, we think about it all the time because, like, it's not us. Like, I'm always, like, watching him and, like, thinking about it, and, like, when we're hanging out or whatever, like, I always want to make sure everything's fine. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't even think about it. Like, we were over there last night for Halloween, and I baked cupcakes that were sugar-free. Because, like, you know, all my life, and my father has it too, for, like, 12 years, he got really sick, and something happened to his pancreas when he was sick, and it caused type 2 diabetes, but we were over there last night, and everything is always sugar-free. Like, that's just how my life is. Like, I'm used to that. I don't mind it. I don't need the extra sugar, unless we're being realistic anyway. So I was making cupcakes, and he came in there before dinner, and he was like, you know, I think my blood sugar's low. I need something. So he picks up the cupcake and just starts eating, and I'm like, that's not going to help. Like, that's got no sugar in it because I'm here. And he was like, shit, can't you ever make anything with sugar in it? And I was like, hello.
like, no.
Like, because they expect him, I'm making it that way, but it was so funny. I was like, here, have frosting. The frosting has sugar. And he's like, I'm not just going to eat the frosting out of the can. It's too late now. I already ate the cupcake without any. But it's so funny. Like, we think about it, but he doesn't necessarily think about it. And my dad is like, he hates anything that's like artificial sugar, because he says it doesn't taste the same. So he just doesn't really eat anything sweet, and if he does, it's, like, occasionally, because he'd rather just not eat it than eat, you know, things made with artificial sweetener, which, I mean, that's how I eat. That's how we grew up with, and that's, like, how it is for us, too. So it's not really an issue for us, and, like, I've, like, come to where, like, things that are made with real sugar, made whole with whole sugar, it doesn't taste right to me. It's so weird for me. Like, I don't eat it. Stuff like that either. So I just think it's funny, like, we're so aware of it as, like, a family, but they're not. I mean, they take care of themselves, but, like, the thing with the cupcakes, like, he's thinking that he could just eat that, and I was like, you know, it's been, like, you know, how long since I, you know, you were diagnosed with this, like, get with it, but we're super aware of it. I think that they're as aware of it. Like, they don't really think about it, like, all the time, but we're always thinking about it. Like, you know, when we made our Halloween plans, we were like, okay, we're going to make this and this, but we're going to do this. You know, we're going to make the cupcake sugar-free so that everybody can eat it, and then we'll just have candy for the kids. But, I mean, we're always aware of it, and that's something that we're always conscious of, and that's, like, how, like, a lot of people always give me that, like, speech about the diet soda, like, people my age, because I don't drink regular soda, because we never had that in our house, because, you know, they couldn't have it. So people always give me a speech about that and how it's, like, worse for you. And I'm like, would you, like, can you find something new to complain about? Like,
I get that. Oh, I get that speech, too. And, you know, you touch on something, an interesting topic. You know, we were talking about the people that love the people with diabetes, you know, the grandkids, the parents, the siblings, the spouses, the loved ones, and others, and they actually call them type 3. You know, we talked about type 1 and type 2 diabetes, but they've actually named them type 3, and it's the loved ones and the burden that they carry. And I know, you know, my boyfriend talks about that, about worrying when I'm going to bed, like, am I going to have a little blood sugar in the middle of the night that I won't wake up from? You know, am I going to be okay?
Yeah.
Things like that. And, and certainly having the Dexcom helps, and the alarms and things like that help alleviate some of those worries. But, you know, that it's a big burden on not just a person with diabetes, but the people that love them as well.
Yeah, people always talk to me about that. And that's just how, like, it was for us always, like, the things that don't have sugar, like, now I can't, like, if I have, like, okay, I'm 19 years old, and, like, 2 months ago was the first time in my entire life I had a soda with sugar in it. Like, I never had it in my life, and I didn't like it, and I haven't had one since because I thought that it was gross. But, like, people, you know, it's just how it is, and people are like, oh, like, you don't do this or you don't do this. Like, yeah, because that's just how we grew up. Like, that's how it was when we were kids, and so we don't ever think twice about, like, when we make something, or, like, when the holidays come and we make things with no sugar, or, you know, we buy Splenda in the huge giant bag at Costco, and, like, we don't ever think about it, but other people think it's so strange, because I'm, you know, a grown-up, I can eat what I want, but I don't think that's how I am. Like, that's just how I eat, and it's not hurting anyone. That's just how it's always been. But it's funny to me that people have such an opinion on this.
Well, there's a lot of opinions on sugar and diabetes, and a lot of misinformation out there.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I don't know. I know, Cody, we're running out of time. Let me just say this, and then I'll shut up.
Yeah, pretty much.
When I was younger, when I was maybe like 12 or something, they thought that I had diabetes, but they, like, were incorrect. Like, they diagnosed it, and then, like, they did a test, but they went ahead and diagnosed it before the test ever came back, because they were just so sure, because I had been sick, and, like, it had been, like, an ongoing thing. And then the test came back, like, a month later, and it wasn't true. Like, it was, like, this whole big thing in my family, and, like, this big deal, and I was this little kid, and I was, like, freaking out, because I was, like, you know, 8, maybe 10. But it wasn't actually true. But this doctor was just so convinced that that was what was wrong with me. And, like, he didn't consider anything else because I have it in my family. Because my parents have it. Because my grandparents, both my grandparents, my mom's side, my father, like, they didn't even consider anything else. And they just went ahead and, you know, told us that was what was wrong. And it wasn't what was wrong. I was just sick. So I think it's, like, and, you know, I've heard of that before. Like, people will have that happen to them, and I feel like there's such a, like, people just assume that that's what's wrong, or people, you know, there's so much negativity and, like, such an issue over it, and it doesn't happen.
And the opposite happens often too, where people just think they're sick, and there's actually diabetes, you know. So it's important, if people start having the symptoms, you know, extreme thirst, having to go to the bathroom a lot, real extreme fatigue, extreme hunger, things like that, dizziness, tiredness, to, you know, if you do go see your doctor and you feel like it may feel like a flu that just hangs on, to just have them do a quick, you know, sugar check, just in case, because my mom was just diagnosed with type 1 at 55 years old, which is rare for someone her age. Sorry, Mom, I just said your age.
Wow.
But,
wow.
Okay.
someone her age, it's rare, and the doctors couldn't believe it. And she literally was within hours of dying because of it. So it's important that, you know, that if you feel like you have those symptoms, to just check. What's it going to hurt to just check, you know, because you don't know.
Other than it just, like, doesn't have to be that like that, like, you know. Anyways, I know we're running out of time, so we'll shut up now. It's 5:05, so.
Anyway, first off, I wanted to thank you for being brave enough and open enough to come on and share your story and hopefully educate a lot of people about this.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You can come back anytime. We kind of like you.
I like you guys too.
Oh yeah, and I just got to say this right now. My already immense respect for you just skyrocketed at this point.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that for me? I missed it.
Yeah, I said what major respect I already had for you. Just a skyrocketing at this point.
Oh, well, thank
you
very much. I really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
And like Em said, you're always more than welcome back on the show anytime.
Well, thank you. I'll come crash your party again soon, I'm sure.
Alrighty. And I'll let you go, and I'll be talking to you later on Twitter and Facebook, okay?
Sounds good. Well, thank you all so much for having me. And if anyone out there is listening and they want to reach out to me on Twitter, Facebook, it's Amanda Jo Country.
Yeah. You guys can stalk her. She's great.
And before we do go, the song that we played earlier to start the show, where can people go to listen to that and download it?
You can go to needlefreesong.com and you can download the song for free. And there's a whole bunch of information about the song and videos and all sorts of cool stuff to check out.
You guys all check her out. Follow her on Twitter. She's a fellow redhead, so we love her.
Yeah.
Even though mine came from a bottle, but that's okay. But
it doesn't matter.
Go join the Amanda Jo family on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Shameless promotion right there.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thank you again for doing this, and I'll talk to you later, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
That was a really informative show, wasn't it, Em?
Yes, but here lately, all of our shows are informative, so... Just saying, no.
This is true.
Okay.
And,
we're running out of time.
And
we need to do an announcement before we get kicked off.
Okay. And fun will start again next week. The fun interviews will start again next week.
And, you guys, we have our annual Weekdays with Murph Christmas. Well, our Weekdays with Murph holiday edition Christmas party deal coming up before we go on hiatus, like every year. Even though we haven't discussed this yet, he knows it's coming because it comes every year.
This is new information to me, but, I mean, okay.
Well, we did this last year, and we did it the year before with the holidays. We did a fun little show just to chat with all of our people. So we should do that. We're going to probably do it again.
We've done it the last couple of years, so.
So holiday show coming soon, because it's almost that time.
Uh-huh. And next week we have another returning guest. Singer-songwriter Jess Lee is stepping by to, as Amanda Jo said, a crash our party. So.
I love that.
Me too. All right, I think I'm going to probably let you go and wrap up here, okay, Em?
Okay, talk to you later.
Bye. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed our interview with the super talented, super sweet Miss Amanda Jo. And I hope we did at least a fair job of getting the word out about type 1 and type 2 diabetes. Okay, so you've already heard the news. Oh, one big thing. I'll save that for next week. Never mind, I'll save that for next week. I'll keep y'all in suspense for at least another week on that. Anyway, like I said, you've already heard the announcements, so I think I'm going to end the episode right here. You've been listening to Weekdays with Murph. Thank you and goodbye.